Adachisha Rupo Vicharasya The incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness.
Yet,
although God is residing within their hearts, all these people say, I cannot see God. Please show him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Daumai, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women wants to remain independent. What to speak of women? All living entities are prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord, as Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita. Aparayam itasvanyam prakritim vidhi me param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under control. The Supreme Lord Narayan, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Ikko Havai Narayana Arasit. Foolish persons think Narayan to be on the platform of ordinary material existence, because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity. They concoct names like Daridra Narayan, Swami Narayan, or Nitya Narayan. However, Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization.
Om Mahagana Jivinam Vishya Kanjanasavakaya Chachur Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Vishnam Saptam Jaina Uttale Svayarupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadantikam Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pungum Nangai Tegirim Yatri Pata Mahampande Shri Kurum Dinatayanam.
One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize his presence both externally and internally.
So, Srila Prabhupada was being questioned by a young spiritual aspirant, and he was asking Srila Prabhupada what he should meditate on.
in relationship with Chaitanya Hare Krishna. And he was asking Prabhupada, you know, he had this vision or this image of a lotus in his mind. And Prabhupada made a comment, if you open up your brain and have a look inside, what will you see? He says, not very pretty. So this perception or this vision of Krishna or Adrishtarupa, right? Adrishtarupa, this unseen form of the Lord, can only be realized through the acceptance orally, by hearing from the appropriate sources, from the authorized sources. And this is why the Vedas, and especially the Vedanta, are so important. Right? Vedanta means the end of knowledge. Right? Or the conclusion of all knowledge is presented in the form of the sound vibration. So the last statement of this verse, only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Although we see, and Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, that there are many who recite the Vedas or hear the Vedas but become confused, right? And so one of the symptoms of an advanced transcendentalist is a person who's not bewildered by, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the flowery words of the Vedas. Right. So it's very interesting that the Vedic literature, now literature, the Vedas are manifest in the form of the books. And this is why the books are so important. Why should Prabhupada put so much effort into translating the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita primarily? You know, these books contain the essence of the Vedanta philosophy, right? And why the Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially, didn't have a commentary on the Vedanta, because they accepted the Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary, right, the natural explanation. Right? Because Vedic literature is a vast expanse of information. But in it there are different sections, Kama Kanda section, you know, the worship of the different demigods and so forth. There's a whole range of topics. But the Vedanta, the end of the Vedas, or the conclusion of the Vedas, is contained within these, you know, these four books. Prabhupada says if you want to be proficient in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then this is all you need to study. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavad Gita is your graduate, well, beginning, I guess, study. The Bhagavatam is a graduate study, is that right? Chaitanya Charitamrita we Rinpoche says, the postgraduate, also Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, nectar of devotion. Because in the nectar of devotion we get, you know, a really powerful expose of what devotees do and what devotees experience, right? What they experience, how a devotee, and what Krishna does and what Krishna experiences, right? And systematically, all this information, you know, just it took Rupa Goswami many years actually to write the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. At least a decade, if not more. But in it, a very systematic analysis of all of the moods of the devotee, and all of the moods of Krishna in relationship with the devotees. Really, you know, I remember Nectar Devotion was probably the first Hare Krishna book that I picked up. Right? I used to know where all the Krishna book and the Nectar Devotion had very distinctive covers. And this Upanishad too, in the late 70s. Or mid 70s. And the devotees distributed thousands and thousands and thousands of these books. But they had the Krishna book had a light blue kind of fluorescent cover, and the Isopanishad had a pinkish color, so with the Nectar Devotion, pinkish color. So you always knew where the Hare Krishna books were on somebody's bookcase because they stood out. So I remember picking up the Nectar Devotion and I thought I was a bit of a yogi, reading all my Vedic or impersonalist literature. That's a real trap, you know, because for some reason or other, the British and European scholars were attracted to the impersonalist interpretation of the scripture. And so that's kind of, you know, that's even Buddha, influenced by Buddhist thought as well. So anyway, I thought I'll open up the Nectar Devotion and see if I can give a commentary on this book. But the first thing I opened up was about Krishna playing in the forest with cowboy boys. This is far out, so I just closed the book, I put it back in the bookcase and said, whoo! Because, you know, it's personal. And, you know, I guess I like the idea of being God, being one with God and equal to God, of course, but our philosophy is one with God, yes, but not equal to. No. Infinitesimal. Krishna is the Vibhu and we are the Anu. He is the biggest and we are the smallest. Like him, yes, eternal. Sati Aranda. If you want to be. So, by hearing, regularly hearing, the Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, what we're doing now, by regularly reciting the Vedic literature, one is exposed to all of this information. And so we have a system, an interesting system, whereby we worship the deity, we chant Hare Krishna, and then we hear the Vedic literature, and specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And the Srimad Bhagavatam is important because the Bhagavatam is considered to be Nigula Kalpataro Galitam Phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Right? So it's the it's the essence of all of the scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why Prabhupada selected Bhagavatam for the daily, of course, Bhagavad Gita also. But it's interesting, ISKCON of the 70s, when book distribution was a primary, you know, Sankirtan activity, Sankirtan and book distribution, Bhagavad Gita was always recited in the evenings. All the devotees would come together and hear the Bhagavad Gita. Right? And so we have what we call the ISKCON sandwich. Nowadays we have an open sandwich. Right? But we used to have a closed sandwich. So it would be worship the deity, right, by Gaura Aarti and Kirtan, and then after that, Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember that, Mahatma?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would really like it if we started. We did, you know, we've got devotees who want to give classes. It'd be really good. You probably won't have such a big audience to begin with, but if we did a Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, we could broadcast it as well. Right, and get that culture back of studying also the Bhagavad Gita as we do the Bhagavatam. You know, in my time in the temple, this is the third time we've gone through the Bhagavatam. We could go through the Bhagavad Gita, I don't know, there's 700 verses, so it'd take 2 years to go through the Bhagavad Gita. Right? But we could do that. And of course, this is our culture. And all the devotees, you know, I used to think, why? These Hare Krishnas, they're so convinced about who God is, what he looks like, where he lives, who, all the people that he associates with. How do they know that? Huh? How do they know that? Everybody else is in absolute, you know, is in complete confusion as to who God is and what he does. In fact, he doesn't do anything. And so he doesn't do anything, he has no form, right? Of course, he doesn't have any material activities, he doesn't have a material form, he has a spiritual form. But how many people actually understand that in today's, you know, in the people that you meet on the street? Or how many people even think about that? They're just completely hovering on the physical. And you know, the highest, the most elevated kind of thinking is you know, some drama or dance or art or whatever. But still, it's all just a reflection of all of their material experiences. Right? No internal realization of spiritual identity or understanding that God has a form. Not a material form, but a spiritual form, right? A Drishta Rupa. Or, as is mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Srimati Kuti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world, Nato Natya Dharo Yata. Like an actor dressed as a player. Right. So this is another thing. When God appears in a material world, they think he's become just like us. That he's a material person. Very difficult to understand that God appears, but when he appears in the material world, he's not part of the material world, he still exists in a purely spiritual form. But it's difficult to appreciate that because he just behaves like everybody else. So how do we differentiate? Of course, when we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially when you get to the, well, even before you get to the 10th you realize that even though the Lord appears in the material world, his activities are uncommon. His activities are beyond the material experience. But it requires a regular hearing of the Vedic literature to understand that. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar Devotion, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion. And of course, the reason why the Chaitanya Charitamrita is important, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita exhibits the Lord in his pastimes as a Sankirtan devotee, right? Propagating the Yuga Dharma. And the reason why we need to study the Chaitanya Charitamrita is to understand these are the activities of the devotees in Kali Yuga. These are the activities that we should be following, pursuing. The same activities as the Panchatattva, because the Panchatattva exhibit, you know, they're the manifestation of the Lord in his Yuga avatar feature. Right? Each yuga has a particular avatar who propagates or performs the yuga dharma, the religious activities, the religious practice for that yuga. So that's why the Chaitanya Charitamrita is so important. And then we can realize that the activities that we're performing, Sankirtan, and more recently established and demonstrated by devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, it means book distribution, right? Why? So the devotees can be regularly hearing about Krishna. They can be regularly hearing about Sankhya philosophy, for example. The actual Sankhya philosophy, not the Sankhya philosophy of the atheist Sankhya philosopher. Kabila, isn't it?
Yeah.
Prabhupada mentions. And Sankhya means effectively just to count, right? Sankhya purvakanamakanatavi. This is the six Goswamis. Counting. Counting the japa. Counting. So counting all of the elements of the material energy. And also counting within that the presence of the Lord in the form of the super soul. What that mentions here. What is it? Sapasya chaham vidishami vishto matasmiti jnana apavanam cha. The dias cha savayaham individual vidanta kritvedi vidhiva charam. If you want to know Krishna, we have to study the Vedanta. Huh? And what's the end of the what is the conclusion of the Vedanta? Srimad Bhagavatam. Preliminary study Bhagavad Gita. Secondary study Srimad Bhagavatam. And, you know, postgraduate, I suppose, is Chaitanya Charitamrita, and especially Nectar Devotion, is very, very, very elevated. Because it only just deals with Krishna in his pastimes and the devotees. And no doubt, you know, forget about worshiping this one and that one or anybody else. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadiradi Govinda Sarvaka. We just focus on the cause of all causes, the original Adi, the Adi Purusha, and the original controller. And this verse explains how Krishna is the controller, and everybody is under his control. Or Prabhupada mentions this in the verse. Just like a woman is under the control of her husband. Here's a statement that's not going to be liked by some, right? A woman is compared to a doll. In fact, that was a nickname, that was a colloquial term for a woman, a doll. She's a doll. Well, she's a doll. Now, why? Because she has no independence. Whoa. Women don't like that. She should and this bit also, she should always be controlled by a man. What do you reckon? Yes, so long as a man is qualified. That's the point. Right. In the Kali Yuga, women are being abused by men. Right. Every week, pretty much the statistics at the moment show that a woman, a wife, is killed by her husband. Right. This is one of the challenges. The challenges of preaching Krishna, of preaching in general, right? We find statements like this in our books, in our literature. But why should women be controlled by men who, you know, once a week kill them? Right? Well, this is a big challenge. What Prabhupada is saying here is true, right? But why should a woman follow a man who's fallen and who beats her up or exploits her or kills her? How do you get around that? When we try to establish principles like this, right? But the evidence suggests, and this is why Kali Yuga is such a big challenge. Why such a big challenge? And why it requires dynamic preaching, dynamic, skillful. One has to be dexterous to preach, you know, that everybody should be controlled by God. Right? And yet we see members of religious institutions abusing children, abusing women, you know, exploiting people, taking money. Right? I remember when we teach the Guru leadership course, there's one story of a priest, I won't mention which denomination, but who for 20 years just took all of the proceeds from his hundi and put it in his own bank account. And he had millions of dollars. Right? So who's going to trust such? Who's going to trust religious practitioners? Huh? When they're stealing all the money. Or doing other things. You know, that's only the tip of the iceberg. Huh? So who's going to have trust or faith in religious formularies when what does it produce? So it requires, you know, a deep conviction and also a simplicity of purpose and example, right? Yajna Charity Shrestas. The leaders of society have to set a perfect example, right? This is a big challenge for ISKCON, is to walk the talk so we have to be the epitome or the embodiment of what we preach. Can't be fanaticism, can't be sentimental. It's got to be a balance of, it's got to be self-realization, it's got to be genuine self-realization. And from genuine self-realization comes good qualities, equanimity in failure and in success, and not attachment to material acquisitions. not influenced by material acquisition, because it's one of the problems of spiritual practice, if it's being done successfully, is you actually become materially successful. Right? Krishna is the source of material and spiritual success. But transcendentalists or spiritualists, we see it many times, young, idealistic, inspired, aspiring yogis come to Krishna consciousness, but then become distracted by material things. Right? We've seen it. We have a history. There's a history of it all over the place, right? And we're not immune to it. But what that does is it's not unusual. It's not unusual. Huh? If we look at the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is full of stories, right? The Chaitanya Charitamrita, full of stories of devotees who got in trouble. But how they got out of trouble, more importantly, right? But it could be rulers, people. And so that's why there's, regularly reciting the Vedic literature. Nashtra Pradesh or Bhadreshu. If you want to get rid of the dirty things or be aware of them, then it's regular recitation of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So, if we want to see Krishna, and if we want to be inspired and act on Krishna's orders, and he's within the heart, right? As Prabhupada mentions here, Ishvara Sarvabhutana, Krishna is within everybody's heart, and he's instructing us. It's just that we're not prepared to hear. Right? Krishna is saying, do this, do that, do the other, act in your own best interests. And we're thinking, oh, I do have to do that. Why me? I want to be independent. So here Prabhupada mentions about how the women are independent, should never be independent, but the men shouldn't be independent either, because they're obliged to follow the instructions of Krishna. It's not that, the men can just go and do what they like and the women have to do what they're told. No, and this is, this is how our philosophy can be misunderstood or misappropriated. The men think, we're in charge, the women should just do what we tell them to do. Right? But hang on a second. That doesn't mean that you can do whatever you like. You have to also follow the orders of Krishna. And so again, regularly hearing, we need to be reminded. Every now and again we get a bright idea, I can do what I like. But we have to be reminded, no, you don't do what you like, you do what Krishna likes. That's a symptom of a devotee. That's what distinguishes a devotee from a non-devotee. The devotee does what Krishna likes. Right? And no wonder that we see women who are independent, because the men don't do what they're supposed to do. And so why are we under the control of a man who doesn't know what he's doing? And, has sex, produces children, bashes it up, and then leaves home. Or worse, bashes you up and kills you. Right? So this is why Kali Yuga is such a challenge, is because we espouse the highest of philosophies, but then if our actions are short of that, then people will be disappointed. So it's a big challenge. You have to understand and practice. That's why it's sadhana bhakti is in the beginning. It's practice. Until it becomes natural. And of course, in the meantime, there's the anatta nivritti stage where the rubbish, if you like, the detritus of material existence has to be cleared away. by chanting Hare Krishna, by regularly hearing, purify the intelligence by being instructed by the Bhagavatam. That's how we make progress in getting rid of these attachments. Is being, well, first of all, being aware of these things. You know, when we first, certainly in my case, I came to Krishna consciousness and I was thinking, yep, I'm very advanced. Right? I'm surrendered to Krishna. But then after a while I discovered that actually I wasn't very advanced and I'm not very surrendered. Right? But I still have remnants of material affection. And that's why the good, you know, chanting attentively, hearing the Bhagavatam attentively, hearing the Bhagavad Gita attentively is required to at least be aware of, you know, the attachments, the conflicts, conflict of interest. This is an issue that Islam is facing at the moment. How do we deal with conflicts of interest? Well, first of all, how do we become aware of a conflict of interest? We don't even know what a conflict of interest is sometimes. We think, oh yeah, what I want is what Krishna wants. Then we discover, hang on a second, what I want is stupid, and what Krishna wants, I don't want. But there's an internal conflict of interest, right? So, we need to become aware of ourselves, and sometimes self-realization in the beginning means becoming aware of what we're not. Not as much as what we are. Or what we are is not particularly appealing or attractive in terms of how the learning should behave. Right? So, we're controlled. Everybody's controlled. Even, you know, there was a song, pop song, by The Who, and it was called "I'm Free." Right? And it basically consists of, you know, the words "I'm free" being repeated many times. I'm free, and you want to follow me, or something like that. But you know, you can say to yourself as many times as you like, "I'm free, I'm free, I'm free." That doesn't make me free. Although we have that feeling, you know, we do have that feeling. And this is, Krishna has given us independence. But we need to be trained to understand the importance of free to follow Krishna's orders and Krishna's instructions, and that's the best thing for us. But even when we're not following Krishna, there's this illusion of independence, but actually we're not. Everybody is bound up. Birth, death, old age, disease. I don't know if you noticed. This is an eternal truth of material existence. So who's free? You know, people say, oh, I want to be free. Or, you know, I want to be, is the latest version of freedom. Why should I wear a mask? Right? We should be free. Well, hang on a second, you know, you stop at traffic lights, right? You drive on the left hand side of the road. Although in India that's questionable. Most of the time you drive on the left hand side of the road. Unless the left hand side of the road's got more traffic, you can't get where you want to go quickly. So then you drive on the other side of the road. Right? And then if the policeman comes along and catches you, what do you do? Yeah. I'll tell you the story. One time we caught a bus. We arrived in Delhi and we caught a bus to Vrindavan. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And the bus driver had forgotten how to get to the Mathura Road from the airport. He didn't tell us that. But anyway, he pulled over had a chat with a policeman and to ask a question to a road, right? And the policeman said, show me your license, and he didn't have a license. So there we were stuck. And there was about 15 roadies. It wasn't a full bus, but you know, we wanted to get it down. So I thought, okay, I know how to solve this problem. So I gave, there were two policemen, so I gave them each a 50 rupee note. And I'm happy with that. So, okay, John, off we go. You wouldn't get away. You wouldn't get away with that in Australia. Yeah. And then I said to my wife, I said to the devotees afterwards, those policemen are fools. They could have got 50 rupees off of all of us if they wanted to. 50 rupees to them was like, oh wow, so much money. But for us, when it was 50 rupees, it's like a dollar or something. Here you go, mate. If it was so easy in Australia, that would be, you know. Anyway, we're controlled. We're controlled. Right? And we actually submit to many. You know, when you get on an airplane, what do? You put your seatbelt on. Right? When you drive a car, you put your seatbelt on. Because you don't want to fine. Right? Or you don't want to be thrown off the plane. So what's the big deal about putting on a mask and, you know, protecting yourself and others? It's kind of like, but you're still going, oh no, you're infringing on my personal rights. But you know, really, when you think about it, we don't have any personal rights. We're all bound up by the material energy, which ultimately is under the control of Krishna. So let's surrender directly to Krishna. And then actually what happens then is the material energy is, what is it? Yayatamam prapanjyamate. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. And for the devotees that are surrendered to Krishna, men and women, Krishna releases them from the influence of the material energy. And so they are free radical. But of course, the devotee in their freedom is fully engaged in following Krishna's orders and having all sorts of adventures on Krishna's behalf. Right? We see Mamahan having so much fun running around, negotiating with people, organizing things, coordinating things, having fun. Even on book distribution, it's an austerity. That you have so much fun. Isn't it? The devotees have the most interesting lives, really. I remember, you know, when I was a collector, I went to every pub in Victoria, pretty much. Right. Of course, not to drink, no? You know, there's that saying, if you see Lord Nityananda going into the pub, it's not because he's going there for a drink. He's going to preach. Right? And we had so much fun. You know, we used to wear wigs in those days, so it's almost everybody would give me something to say, hey mate, take your wig off. Because, you know, I guess, you know, they could see the humour in the Hare Krishna's wearing wigs. In this day and age, having a bald head's okay. But in those days, bald heads were an oddity. And so we stuck out. But so many challenges and adventures on Krishna's behalf. That's what Prabhupada called it, the great transcendental adventure. And so, you know, as a devotee, we get so many opportunities to do so many things, but all under Krishna's protection, under Krishna's guidance. Yeah, people don't want that. No, I'm not going to be told what to do. Right, all right, well, we dictated to by the material energy. Follow your senses. Follow your mind and your senses and be dragged around all over the universe without any hope of ultimate satisfaction or or happiness, really. Because always being disturbed by the mind and the senses. So when we follow Krishna's instructions, then we're active, we're engaged, not materially, but on the spiritual platform, and then automatically the mind and the senses are controlled because it's being engaged in Krishna's service. This is the beauty of bhakti yoga. In the introduction to the second canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions how he's been criticized because he's acting apparently like a materialist. He's going to the bank, he's going to the printer, he's purchasing paper. So even though his residence was Vrindavan, Prabhupada would leave Vrindavan and go to Delhi to ultimately sell books, right? Print and sell books. And he was criticized for doing that. Even within the Gaudiya mission, he was criticized for doing that. And he said, well, we look like the materialists because we're going into their domain, right? Leaving the government and going into the domain of the materialists. This is why people criticize Islam, other traditions. You criticize, if you become a member of Islam, you just sell books. Huh? You just need the money. But this is what our founder of charity did. And why did he do that? It's not a material activity. It's a purely spiritual activity. Prabhupada says, you'll be elevated. By that activity, you'll be elevated to the Loka Vrindavan because that military book distribution is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And that is bringing others to Krishna. It is not a material activity. It is prompted and inspired by pure compassion for others. And this is why one has to be careful about, you know, what do we say? You can't judge a book by the cover. Right? You can't judge a devotee by their external manifestation. Maybe it's some indication. Right? You know. But there's that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which I can't remember. But it mentions it's very difficult to understand the mind of a devotee. But you know, these are our adventures, if you like, preaching. And this is part of the Sankirtan movement, as evidenced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and documented in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Preaching is the essence of what we do. And as I mentioned before, pure, with this has four slogans. What is it? Books are the basis.
Preaching is the
essence. Purity is the force and utility is the principle. Got to be careful about that one. Because material energy is contaminating. And so people will say, yeah, we use it all in Krishna service. But be careful. Be careful. Because and that's why purity is so important. Chanting 16 rounds regularly during the Bhagavatam. I was going to mention before, but I forgot. Chanting around worshiping the deities purifies the consciousness so that when we hear the Bhagavatam, it goes in. And it goes in deeply because we have the ability to perceive it, you know, to grasp it and to realize it. And then God put it in practice. So the chanting of Hare Prabhupada says, the chanting of Hare Krishna purifies the consciousness. So that when we hear the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, it deeply penetrates our being, our actions and our thoughts and our words. Kamana manasagira. Action, thoughts, words. It's all engaged in Krishna service. And that's how we're controlled. This is how we're controlled. We pray to Krishna, please engage me in your service. And then we hear the Bhagavatam, which describes how. This is how you do it. This is what you do. And when we hear it, then we acknowledge it. We're worshipping Krishna with our intelligence by hearing Bhagavatam. And by reciting, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, one who recites the Bhagavad Gita worships me with his intelligence, with his buddhi. So, we're controlled previously by the Varnashram system, right? Now, where's the Varnashram system? Where is it? Anybody seen the Varnashram system lately? MIA. Missing in action. And you know why? It's because those classifications are naturally in society. They're naturally there. But because everybody's so mixed up, it's all, you know, just mixed up or obliterated because the vital passion and ignorance has contaminated the whole thing, right? But it's still there, actually. These natural propensities of people are still there. But, you know, in Kali Yuga, it's way, way out of control. Or, shall we say, the control is the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion, if at best, rare to find the mode of goodness in Kali. But this is how we become controlled, by worshipping the deity, by chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing the philosophy, and then basically sankirtan, which is what we do. Deity worship is part of sankirtan. And interesting, isn't it, when you think about it? Preaching, samsara dhavana lalita loka, then what's next? Mahaprabhu kirtana mritti gita, sankirtan, right? Then Sri Vigrahara dhana nityadana, worship the deity. First comes sankirtan. And so Prabhupada, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur so told Prabhupada, if you ever get money, pre-bought. Right? Better that I didn't build these temples. Why? Because the devotees were fighting over who would have the material facilities. This is how the Gaudiya Math was destroyed effectively by material ambition. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could see it. Right? And so he told, you know, this is prophetic. He told Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that there will be a fire in the mud. It's just amazing that Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur could see all of this. And you could, and just see how much of a devotee he was. He didn't let that discourage him. Right? Could you imagine? You work so hard and then your disciples destroy your work. How would you feel? You'd be so happy. Well, I would get back. He was detached, equipoised. But then he did it one time. He said about Srila Prabhupada, he'll do everything. Right, so he must have known. He must have known that Srila Prabhupada was going to do what he did. Right. Because he was, and he said, if I can have one pure devotee, I'll be satisfied. Right? So, I forgot what I was going to say. Yep, sidetracked. Yeah, sankirtan. Everything we do is sankirtan. Oh! Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita, then as a Prabhupada book distribution, Sri Vigrahara Dhananitinana, so Prabhupada also established temples. Even though he said it was less important, he still did it. Because it is important, and it all supports the Sankirtan, the devotional culture that permeates and emanates from a temple, right, is the Sankirtan culture. And you see that, Lord Chaitanya would go to the temple of Jagannath, right, every day, and worship Lord Jagannath. So yeah, this is part of our Sankirtan culture, or the community culture of bhakti, of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And then what happens when you go to the temple? Chatur Vidha Sri Bhagavat Prasado. Four types of prasadam. It's getting close to breakfast now. It's a Ekadasi day. We're all fasting today, right? No, actually, and see, this is the thing, you know, we hear this, you should fast on Ekadasi. What about this? Another Saraswati Thakur said, eat rice if you can't go out on Sankirtana. Right? Because the Bengalis, you know, if you don't feed them rice, then they just collapse. Huh? So, you know, this notion, you know, we should all just perform Nijala or this or that or the other. And then you can't do any preaching. But you said, another Saraswati Thakur said, forget that. In fact, Bhagavad-gita Saraswati Thakur was the antithesis of what the Babaji said to Nāda were preaching. And sometimes that contamination actually comes into ISKCON. The devotees forget, we're not here to chant 64 rounds a day. Right? But yeah, this is what some people preach. But what, you know, Śrīla Prabhupāda could assess the quality of the people of Kali Yuga. So he said 16 rounds minimum, so that we can, you know, effectively engage people, because, you know, how many of us can sit down and chant 64 rounds every day? Forget about it. Right? But there are members of the Gaudiya line who preach that still. And when the devotees say, well, we can't chant 64, they say, oh yeah, when you're doing the ironing, when you're going to work, you can chant. Huh? But then they say, well, that's not chanting. There's some singing around, but it's not really chanting. It's distracted, you know, mumbo jumbo. Right? Chanting is meant to be focused, attentive, right? This is one of the reasons why we recommend it to be careful about our association. Right? Be careful about who we associate with, because, you know, what Prabhupada established is sufficient, and it's following in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it was effective. Right? But if we're not careful, we can be associated with devotees. The devotees, but they'll say, you know, no, you can't call Prabhupada. You can, the only person you can call Prabhupada is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Right. He's Swami Maharaj, not Prabhupada. Right? So what does that do to the faith of the ISKCON devotees? And why did Prabhupada say, you know, be careful about your association? Because Prabhupada was constant, and there's a conflict between Prabhupada and his god brothers. He was a preacher. He was out printing books, engaging with and this is why people say Prabhupada didn't give us the highest. Right, because we're just a bullshit. Right? But it's not the case. Prabhupada was giving us the highest. And the highest was to preach. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted. It's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he established that formula. Make sense? And because it is the highest, when you're engaged in preaching, then that's in the mood of the gopis, of Vrindavan on Braj. That's the mood in which we preach. And that's why that's the highest. So Chaturvidha Bhagavad Prasada, then Sri Radhika Madhavayorapara Madhurya Viva Guna Rupa Nam Nam, right? And then Nikunja Seva, right? Yati Kikari Siddhirai. This is, we're elevated by those, right? If you look at the progression of being merciful and compassionate, right? Then how do we do that? Chanting Hare Krishna, Sankirtan, right? Then worship the deity. Then prasadam. Then what? By that preaching, you'll be brought to this level of appreciating Ram and Krishna. You know? This is my interpretation of the Guru-Vashti in part. Meditation over, you know, some years. That brings us to the highest platform of bhakti, the deepest. And so we see that in devotees who dedicate themselves to preaching, we see elevated levels of Krishna consciousness. And we know that. We read the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and at the end, there's all this description of the qualities of the devotee. How does he sit? How does he talk? You know, how does he walk, etc.? Okay. Shall we finish? Vandrasana Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hare Krishna.